So you want to dive deep into John Romero's career with us?
Let's do it.
All right, because after going through this interview, let me tell you, this guy's got stories.
He really does.
Even as a kid, his passion for programming, it just jumps out at you.
Yeah, what's really remarkable is how these early experiences really shaped his whole approach to game design, you know?
Oh, totally.
Like, take for instance the fact that he used to sneak into college computer labs as a kid just to get his programming fix.
Wait,
Yeah,
wait.
like around 11 years old.
11 years old, I was probably like trying to beat Super Mario Bros. At that age. I
Yeah,
mean, this is not some kid with like fancy equipment or online courses. Heck, YouTube tutorials weren't even a thing back then. He's
exactly.
relying on library books
Right.
and basically just like badgering college students to teach him.
It's that scrappiness that's pure Romero. And it wasn't just some phase, it became like a core part of his design philosophy. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Like he talks about those early days working on the Apple II, pushing the limits of what that machine could even do.
Trying to squeeze every ounce of performance out of that thing.
Absolutely. And it's not just someone playing games. This is someone who dove headfirst into like the guts of the machine, figuring out how to bend it to his will.
It's that make it work mentality.
Exactly. And that comes from limited resources, but it became a hallmark. It pushed him to find those elegant solutions, to constantly innovate, never accept limitations.
And speaking of elegant solutions and limitations, you look at his work during the 80s, and it's a testament to that, right? This is a time when, like, you got games by typing in lines of code printed in magazines.
It's mind-boggling to think about it now, right? Today we have like gigabytes of data streaming instantly.
Oh, yeah.
Back then, games were literally squeezed onto like a few magazine pages.
I would lose my mind after the first typo, probably.
It's a different world. This constraint forced a level of coding efficiency that you just don't see today.
Right.
Take Scout Search, for example.
Okay.
Romero had to make every single line of code count, so he uses BASIC for the menus
Makes sense. Simpler.
and then assembly language for the core gameplay because it was more efficient. That's thinking outside the box.
Yeah, it is. And it's not just one game. This is Romero pumping out games at this incredible pace during this period.
Oh, yeah.
It really highlights his dedication.
It's like he's like a musician jamming every day, honing their skills, experimenting with the different sounds. This period wasn't just about how many games, it was the discipline, that iterative process that like comes to define his career.
And it's this rapid development cycle, this constant experimentation and refinement.
Yeah.
It's really foreshadowing like the agile development practices that are so prevalent in games today.
Absolutely. It was out of necessity back then, but what he stumbled on was a really effective way to work, to constantly be iterating, testing, improving, and that's something that's still so relevant.
So we've got Romero, this coding machine, cranking out game after game. But then, you know, there's this pivotal moment, this concept that almost never saw the light of day.
Oh, right.
He has this idea for a game set in a mutant research facility, which, you know, on the surface sounds kind of intriguing.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
For sure.
But he had this gut feeling,
Yeah,
right?
Romero had this gut feeling that it just wasn't right.
It's too predictable.
Too predictable, too familiar. And this is key about him. Willingness to scrap an idea, even a good one, if it didn't feel groundbreaking.
And thank goodness for that, because this decision led him to a much bolder concept.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that time in the early 90s when you couldn't boot up a computer without bumping into a certain first-person shooter?
You're talking about the blowing away Nazis game that changed everything. It's
Exactly.
hard to imagine gaming without that.
And here's where I think Romero's design philosophy really shines through, his mantra. Anything that stops you mowing down, get it out of there.
That's so good.
He stripped away anything that got in the way of pure adrenaline-fueled action.
Revolutionary for its time. Most games were still bogged down with these clunky interfaces, convoluted mechanics. He streamlined it, made it all about the action,
Right.
the visceral thrill. He understood that sometimes. Simplicity, ultimate sophistication.
And that game, of course, was Wolfenstein 3D, a game that didn't just popularize the FPS genre, it practically invented it as we know it.
Right.
But before we get ahead of ourselves, let's rewind just a bit and talk about a technical innovation that paved the way for Wolfenstein and so much more.
Ah, you're talking about the smooth horizontal scrolling that John Carmack, his partner in crime, managed to pull off on a PC.
A feat that was practically unheard of at the time. It's
Yeah.
easy to forget how groundbreaking that was.
It really was groundbreaking. You have to think about the technical limitations back then. PCs, they were for business tasks, you know? Their graphics cards could barely handle, like, a static image, let alone smooth, fast movement.
So how'd they even pull it off? Was this, like, a hardware hack?
It was coding ingenuity, pure and simple. Mm-hmm. Carmack basically tripped the graphics card, mm-hmm. made it display this constantly shifting perspective to create the illusion of smooth horizontal movement.
Wow.
Total game changer, because it opened up a whole new world for PC gaming.
And Romero's reaction when he first saw it is priceless. He knew instantly they were onto something special, something that could even rival the big guys, you know?
Nintendo.
Yeah.
Nintendo.
It's a perfect example of how a technical breakthrough can just, like, ignite this creative ambition. They didn't just overcome a limitation. They used it a springboard for innovation.
It's true.
And that breakthrough directly to Commander Keen, this platformer that just showed off what PC gaming could really do.
And Commander Keen wasn't just a technical showcase either. It also showed off Romero's, like, business savvy. He releases it as shareware, which, I mean,
that's for you.
For those who don't know, was kind of like the indie scene of its day, right?
Exactly. Shareware let developers skip those traditional publishers, get games right into the hands of players.
Direct connection.
Exactly. Distribute a portion for free. People try before they buy. This model, it built a community around Commander Keen, and it cemented Romero as someone who understood how to connect.
Always ahead of the curve, it seems.
Right.
Anticipating these trends that would go on to, like, define the industry.
And that commitment to community, it doesn't go away.
Yeah.
Enter Doom. They don't just release a game. They give players the tools to mod it, make their own levels, their own stories. Unheard of back then.
It's like he understood the most powerful kind of engagement. You get people to create.
Exactly.
It laid the groundwork for, like, the modding communities we still see today.
Absolutely. Doom wasn't just a game. It was a platform. But, you know, it wasn't all smooth sailing in Romero's world.
Right. Got to talk about Quake. A game that, yeah, it pushed the boundaries of tech even further, but man, it took its toll. Groundbreaking, for sure, but it came at a cost.
What's interesting about Quake is it shows the challenges of managing ambition, especially at the bleeding edge like that.
Yeah.
Romero talks about that pace, this constant technological iteration that, I mean, it just wore on the team.
And for those who don't know technological iteration, just think of it as constantly updating and refining the game's engine and systems, even while you're still developing the game itself.
If, yeah.
It's like rebuilding the foundation of a house while you're trying to furnish the upstairs bedrooms.
It's a perfect analogy. It allowed them to do incredible things with Quake, but the pressure was immense. They were determined, pushing boundaries, make something truly groundbreaking, but, you know, well-being took a hit.
It's a good reminder that even in a creative field like this, you got to manage that team morale.
Oh, yeah.
Got to find a sustainable pace. It's crucial. Speaking of challenges, though, we can't overlook Daikatana.
Right.
Maybe not as commercially successful, but it has valuable lessons, you know?
Oh, for sure.
About leadership, learning from mistakes.
Especially with a less experienced team, which is what they were working with.
Yeah. And Romero, he's incredibly proud of the AI they achieved in Daikatana. But... and he's open about this. He acknowledges the shortcomings.
He does.
It's a project that just highlights how important clear communication is.
Oh, absolutely.
Realistic expectations.
Yeah.
Fostering that supportive environment, especially when you're working with a team that's still learning the ropes.
It's so important.
It's easy to get caught up in the excitement, right?
Oh, yeah.
New idea, new tech.
Right.
But you got to balance the ambition with the realities of game development.
But sure. And what's remarkable about Romero is he owns those mistakes, sees them as a chance to grow.
He does.
He doesn't shy away from talking about Daikatana,
no,
even though it wasn't the hit he hoped for.
Right.
It's that willingness to learn, to adapt, to keep going that defines his career.
I love that.
And it shines through in his later work, particularly with this game that's, like, so different from Doom or Quake. You ready for this?
Okay. Yeah, me.
So Romero creates a post-apocalyptic taco truck simulator with his son.
Wait, what?
You heard me right.
I mean, that sounds unexpected, to say the least. Tell me everything. Gunman taco truck, right?
That's the one.
And it involves tacos and, like, gunfights. This just screams Romero.
It's pure Romero through and through. On the surface, yeah, it's this wacky action game driving a taco truck through a wasteland, battling mutants, serving up grub.
Okay.
But beneath that, you've got this heart. It's about family. It's about passion. It's about creative reinvention.
All right, you got to elaborate on that family connection.
So, picture this. Romero is teaching his son how to code.
Love it.
Right. And they're just messing around, experimenting with different game mechanics, and boom, the seed for this crazy game, it just pops out of those sessions.
No way. Talk about bonding over lines of code, huh?
Seriously. It just goes to show collaboration and inspiration. They come from unexpected places. They actually ended up working on the game together, the whole family. Romero's wife, she created the art.
Whoa, a true family affair. Okay, but paint me a picture here. What kind of game is this? I'm getting a little lost between the taco truck and the post-apocalypse, you know?
All right, so imagine you're not just driving this food truck, you're upgrading its armor, you're giving it weapons.
Baton.
All while you're managing your ingredients, you know, crafting the perfect taco recipe.
To keep your customers happy.
To keep them alive. It's wild. It's part shooter, part cooking game, part resource management, and somehow it just works.
Like, that's so Romero, though, right?
Yeah.
To take these totally different things, mash them up, have fun with it.
Absolutely. And I think that's why this game, it's such a fascinating chapter for him. This is a guy who spent decades pushing the limits of tech, of design.
Right.
And he comes back to this pure joy, this playful invention that, honestly, it's probably what got him hooked in the first place back in those college computer labs.
Full circle moment.
Right.
It reminds us that sometimes the best ideas, they come when we least expect it. From genuine passion.
Right.
From working together.
Exactly. And it kind of leaves us with this question. What limitations in your life, in your work, could you turn into something amazing? Because Romero's career, it's proof. Embrace the constraints. Find inspiration in the tough stuff. Who knows what you'll create?
Couldn't have said it better myself. Until next time, folks.